true inquirers, after all scientific truths, as was my father and his mother before him. There are so many tests that we could carry out on the woman in question.
Ryan didn't much like David Crichton. Sitting next to him made his flesh crawl. It wasn't the white coat's age. Ryan had seen and liked enough elderly people in his life. Crichton was like an evil child. His skin was soft like a newborn reptile's, and his eyes were milky and pale. He ate the food with a strange infantile sucking action, dribbling a great deal. When he was speaking, he sometimes forgot that he was also eating, and the food simply plopped back onto his dish.
What do you actually do here? What's the research you work on?
Very secret, Cawdor. Known only to a few of us around this table. The second stage workers and the Sekmen and the auxiliaries, of course, have no idea at all what we do. We are most careful about that.
A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing when in the hands of the wrong people, Buford. So we make sure that the right hands are our hands. Is that the basic idea?
Yes, it is. You're obviously a person of wisdom, Tanner. After we have finished what we have started, then there might be something for you to do here with us, if you so wished.
My thanks to you, but I believe I must claim a subsequent engagement, Professor Crichton.
Are we going to learn what you do? Or do we just stay here for a day or so, sucking up this pastel-colored snot and then move on?
You are outspoken, traitor.
That doesn't answer my question. You want something from us. What is it? Can we trade? You gotta tell us.
Crichton peered myopically down the room.
Your companion, Cawdor?
Yeah?
I see why he has been nicknamed Traitor. It is most appropriate for him.
Ryan laid down his knife and wiped a few crumbs of cheese from his mouth.
It sure is. But I don't hear an answer from you or any of your people to the question he just asked.
Which was... Refresh my memory, if you would.
This institute's been running ever since before the birth of Deathlands, is that right?
My grandmother herself laid the foundation stone 2 years before what I believe has become known to Outlanders as Skydark.
Helped by the military?
Oh, yes. The Crichtons have always been patriots, Mr. Dix. We were there at Bunker Hill, looking deep into the whites of their eyes. The Crichton was at the Alamo, facing the red glare of the rockets, showing how a man of honor can die. A Crichton rode against the smoke-clustered guns at First Bull Run, and a cousin stood alongside Lee at Appomattox. My great-great-grandfather was...
We get the picture.
The old man looked at Ryan with the steadiness of a sun-warmed python.
Outlanders are as rare as the motherlode here. We're not used to the direct way some of you have. Here, we talk more carefully.
It still comes back to a traitor asked you. Why do you want us here? Bearing in mind, like you say, that you don't allow outsiders into this valley.
That can all wait until tomorrow.
David Crichton stood, a little shakily.
Now, I should go to bed. What is it, Ladro?
If the lady is well, we were going to ask permission to spend some experimental time with her. The others could safely be shown some part of our lengthy labors here, couldn't they?
Indeed.
There's one thing we need to make clear. I understand that Christie's special powers are of interest. But we all come together, or we don't come at all. There's no possibility of you seeing her while the rest of us tour around the bits you want us to see. You understand?
A direct man! Unusual, in my experience. Very well. If you will all agree and the lady herself gives consent when she is recovered, then your cooperation in this matter would be appreciated.
Crichton gave them a small, ironic bow and began to walk slowly away.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed the feast.
Buford rose and trotted at the heels of David Crichton, moving across the long room in a direction that would bring them into the wing that was close to the visitors. The rest of the scientists filed after them, without a word or a glance, either to the Outlanders or to one another.
Enjoyed the meal, my ass. Somebody needs to tell their cook not to give up his day job. I've eaten better food at my Uncle Josh's house, and his wife could ruin breakfast cereal.
What do you reckon, Ryan?
Suddenly the door opened again, and David Crichton reappeared.
Oh, you didn't see my pair of hounds, did you? Any of you? No? Oh, pity. A lot of work went into their breeding and training and so forth.
A hand appeared on his shoulder and drew him out of the room again.
Few cards short of a deck, ain't he?
I'm not so sure.
After the meal, once they were back in their own wing, they had a brief strategy meeting with everyone present. There was no need for long talks and complex planning. They all agreed that the Institute didn't seem to present any serious threat to them, either individually or collectively, and that they would follow Ryan's lead the next day. Ryan had pushed the two beds together and slipped a small sec-lock across the inside of the door, giving them a fragile privacy. Christy was making progress on the slow road toward total recovery.
They've been living here in this secluded valley for the better part of 100 years?
Yeah, gotta be some inbreeding.
Do they seem like crazies or stoops?
No, and they aren't really like those weird white coats we ran into up at Crater Lake.
Don't forget that poor bastard who looked like he'd been gone over by a mad surgeon.
Might not be any connection.
But there were the last words he said. Dean heard them.
Twins.
And coning, remember? Or something like that.
Moaning, boning, someone's name, going. Could have been that. He was trying to say that he was going.
Still, it doesn't explain him talking about twins, does it? And Dean was certain on that. The dogs were so similar, they looked like identical twins, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. But talk and wait. You need some more sleep.
I reckon I'll be back up to about 90% by morning. Though that mushy food didn't help. I'd kill for eggs over easy with back bacon and a pile of hash browns in the morning. And good coffee, hot and strong enough to float a horseshoe.
I can promise you it won't be that, lover.
Ryan stood and started to get undressed.
You turning in this early?
Yeah, I think my own batteries could do with a little recharge as well.
Christy watched Ryan, seeing the lean, scarred body with bands of muscle hard across the strong bones. He peeled off his dark blue pants and laid them on a chair in the corner.
Lover.
Yeah?
I'm tired.
I know.
But I'm not that tired.
Breakfast was a gruel of watery yellow that the sec man claimed was made from real eggs but had some added goodies, and some white sludge, slightly browned, that he told them was radiated and constituted potatoes, better than they were when they came out of the earth. To drink, he offered some truly bizarre nut roast coffee with vile soya milk that stayed in long circular streaks around the mug.
Professor Crichton said to tell you that someone would call for you in about a half an hour and to, ask how the lady was.
She's sitting right in front of you. Why not ask her yourself?
Well, because they all said she was... She had... You know what I mean.
You mean I'm a mutie?
Christy sat up in bed, her long flame-colored hair tumbling free over her shoulders. Ryan had noticed how dull and limpid it had become immediately after she'd used the Gaia power, and how it was now returned almost to its full brightness and glory.
Yeah, I mean, they said you lifted a whole tree that weighed 10 tons.
Very nearly. And you can go and tell your baron or boss or professor or whatever he calls himself that the muty lady is feeling a great deal better and should be able to meet anyone at any time, any place.
It was the ever-present Ladro Buford who appointed himself as the guide to the party, greeting them out in the atrium at 9:03 in the morning, the time checked with a large four-faced digital clock whose numbers had been clicking remorselessly over for the entire life of the Melissa Crichton Institute.
Greetings to all of you outlanders, ladies and gentlemen and children. Sadly, we have few children here in the Institute these days. The records show a far higher birth rate back in the early days of the long winters after Skydark.
Probably nothing else for him to do.
Ah, is this a sample of Outlander humor?
Oh, yeah, it's a good sample, too. You want some more?
No, thank you, I believe not.
Can we see everything?